Mark chapter 10. We'll read one verse tonight. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Familiar story that a lot of preachers have preached on, and I ain't going to tell you nothing you probably don't already know. But like Cal Ray says a lot, there's nothing new under the sun, and hopefully tonight we need to be reminded of some simple truths in God's Word. And we can read the same thing over and over again, but yet the Word of God is so precious that every time you read it, you find something different that you never saw before. No other book can do that, you know. No other book can do that but the Holy Word. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46 says this, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." We like to preach about tonight the side of the road. The side of the road. The Wilburns can share with me what I'm about to say. We do a lot of traveling. I asked Jackie today for a reason. He didn't know I was asking him, but I asked him how many miles a year he puts on his bus. He said probably 75 to 80,000 miles a year. But they travel all across the country, go out to the West Coast, and like they're going to Arkansas or Oklahoma somewhere after they leave here even. And I do a lot of traveling as well. Mostly it's around this tri-state area, but we do a lot of traveling. And it's because you do a lot of traveling that you have to make certain things you have to do to keep your vehicle under great condition. And that is to make sure you do what they tell you to do. Change your oil every 3,000 miles. You rotate your tires every 5,000 or 3,000, however you want to do it. And you make sure all the fluids are checked. And another thing that I have added on to myself is AAA. The worst fear I have in life is that I'll be traveling these back roads in West Virginia where there is no cell phone service. And the thing about it is, it don't matter if you have AAA or not, if you can't get a hold of them, you're in trouble. But you can buy extended warranties on your vehicle, and those things are great, especially when you do a lot of traveling. But you still have to get your car to the dealership in order for them to fix it. But AAA is great because they have what's called roadside service. And if you can get a hold of them, they will come to where you are and take care of your problem. Give you a tank of gas or change your tire, whatever it might be, and they'll help you out. And that's why we have AAA, because it don't matter how many times you change your tires. It don't matter how regularly you check the fluids. Sometimes things just happen. The extended warranties don't take into account that every now and then you're going to run over a nail along the side of the road. And let me just say this right now. Everything that happens to you isn't of the devil. The devil doesn't have control over my life. I want you to know that. God is in control of my life, and he allows things to happen. But I guarantee the devil didn't make your tire flat. It's the nail in your tire that made your tire flat. So don't go blaming that on the devil. And don't go blaming it on God either. That's just life. And things do happen. And I'm finding the same thing over in the spiritual life, that it don't matter how well you read your Bible, it don't matter how many scriptures you can quote, it don't matter how many times you come to church, it don't matter if you give the most money in this church or not, but things happen, and we find ourselves on the side of the road. Whether it be circumstances out of your control, things just happen. Hey, guys, that's just life. You can go along fine, and you get the call that I've got cancer. You can go along just fine, and then all of a sudden your wife says, "Well, I don't love you anymore after 30 years. Yeah. And things just happen. You can seemingly be living good Christian lives, but folks, I'm telling you, I've lived long enough, I've been in church all my life, and I'm finding out that good Christian people have things happen to them, and we got a big word for it. It's L-I-F-E, life. So we better get used to it that things are just going to happen, and we find ourselves on the side of the road. And when things do happen and we do find ourselves on the side of the road, then people seem to get critical of us, saying that we don't have enough faith. You know, like if I do happen to get on the side of the road and my tire does flat, well, my father-in-law might say, well, you should have made sure and checked them before you left out. You know, not that he would do that, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people that like to tell you how to do things after they've already happened. And it's the same way in the spiritual life. We get cancer or some things happen that we might be doing everything well, but we find ourselves on the side of the road and people look at us and say, well, if you had more faith, you wouldn't have cancer. You know, if you just send me $50. And sow a seed. You know what? Let me just sidebar. Is that okay? Seed harvest is not a biblical principle. You give out of your abundance. Back to the sermon. So, people do that, and they're critical, and they judge. And see, when you're not doing fine, oh, there's what I like to call a spiritual pharmacist. You know, when you're sick, everyone's got a remedy. I guarantee a lot of you will come up tonight and ask Jackie, what's wrong with Elaine? Well, if she would just do this. I'm trying to save you, brother. You know, I got some great chicken soup back at the house. And if she stands on her head, I'd like to see that if she doesn't. If she stands on her head and drinks that chicken soup 3 times a day, buddy, her cold will be cured just like that. And we have the same thing in the spiritual life. It seems like everybody has an opinion and they've never went through anything, but they'll tell you how to go through what you're going through, even though they've never had that. And there's all these spiritual pharmacists that like to give us remedies over certain things that happen. But hey, we just got to get used to it, folks. Things just happen and we find ourselves on the side of the road. And that's the way it was with Bartimaeus. We don't know the background of his life, but we knew though that he was a son of Abraham. We know that because it labels him as a son of Timaeus. And that's the way they labeled Jews in the Bible. They always was the son of somebody. So we know that he was one of the sons of Abraham. And even though he was part of God's chosen people, something happened along the way, and he found himself on the side of the road. When we open up the text, we find out that Jesus is in Jericho. We don't have a lot of details about what happened in Jericho, but we do know that something happened in Jericho because there were results. He went in with just a few, but he came out with a great multitude. And see, that's the way Jesus was. You know, one of the things I'm going to like about heaven is just to sit down and listen to Jesus preach. How many people you know, Jackie? You guys heard a lot of preaching. Brother Clyde's heard a lot of preaching. I've heard a lot of preaching. I've never heard anybody that can keep my attention for like 3 or 4 or 5 days, and I forget about eating. But Jesus did. He held people's attention. They forgot about eating. And he had to perform a miracle so he could feed 5,000 plus women and children. It's amazing how effective he was. But you know why he was effective? Because he was anointed. And if you're going to be effective in this life, you're going to have to be anointed. It don't matter what kind of delivery you have in your sermons. It don't matter what kind of outline you have. If you're not anointed, it ain't going to work. I don't care if you got more degrees than a thermometer. It don't matter. If you don't have the anointing, it ain't going to work. But the anointing brings controversy, and that's the way it was with Jesus. Everywhere he went, not only was he effective, but it brought controversy. And Jesus, he had no amenities that we have today. He didn't have a radio program. He didn't have a television program. He didn't have flyers. He didn't have a website. But, buddy, he got it done. Because he was anointed. Masses of people followed him. And I kind of like to liken these people unto new converts that were on fire for God. They had a little bit of excitement about him. But here's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sitting on the highway side begging. The first point I want to bring out tonight, if you're taking notes, is Bartimaeus was stuck on the highway. The highway is different than a back road. If I'm around home, if I'm going to get to Rubyville Church where I attend, I'm going to take the back roads to get there. But if I'm to come to your church, I got out on 32 and hit the highway. Then I hit 275, and that's a real highway. It's just grab on and go, buddy. Highway's different. People speed by you. And Bartimaeus, picture every day of his life, people passed him by. Imagine the torture he went through every single day thinking, you know what? If I wasn't stuck here, I'd be a lot further in life. But because something happened, it may be in something out of his own circumstance, something out of his own control, he found himself stuck on a highway. I wonder how many of you tonight are stuck on the highway. You've been living this Christian life for a while, but something's happened. Maybe things out of your control. Maybe something of your own fault. Usually that's the way it is. And you find yourself stuck, and people are coming into church getting saved, and they're blowing right on by you. And it's torture to you. You get jealous. You get bitterness. You get hatred in your life because you know you could have been way up there if you wasn't stuck. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. This is going deep. I feel the Lord. I don't know about you, but I feel Him. People's success reminds you of your failure. And I don't know. I've never been stuck along a major highway, but I've been stuck on country roads. And you can't already get out of your car because people don't help you nowadays. They go right on by you. But imagine the wind and the speed. It's like they're mocking you because, you know, hey, you're stuck and I'm not. And you become bitter and hateful because you know you could have been a lot farther up the road if you wasn't stuck. And Bartimaeus was stuck so long that he ended up making a living out of being stuck. He was begging. He was settling for second best because he was stuck. He didn't want to further himself. He was stuck. He found out, you know what, I ain't going to get anywhere in my life. So I'm just going to stay right here and make a living out of it. Jackie, I need your help right now. I wonder how many people in our church world today is making a living out of being stuck. They don't have no intention of getting further down the road. They're just going to stay right there and basically be a spiritual bum their entire life. You know the ones that I'm talking about. They're just church hoppers. They go wherever it's happening. They always want a hilarious service. And buddy, I love hilarious services. I put on a little show last night. Mighty Tonight, you never know. And I shout with the rest of you. But I'm telling you, you really don't grow in hilarious services all the time. You grow in the normal times. And you're going to have more normal days than you are hilarious days. And you have 70 or 75 or 80% of the church world today that their highs are real high and their lows are real low. And they don't want to even better themselves. You know the ones that I'm talking about that love going to the hospital. They've made a living out of being in the hospital. Because they just want to find out if you love them enough to send them flowers. They're stuck. They're stuck. They have no intention of getting better because they love the attention. They're hypochondriacs. They love being sick. They love getting more medicine. They love when the doctor says, oh, I've got bad news. They love it. They've made a living out of it. I'm telling you the truth. If you don't believe me, you come with me a while. A lot of them are stuck. Clyde, I need your help, brother. But they're settling for second best, and Bartimaeus found himself stuck on the highway. Now, this miracle was a little bit different than most miracles because in Bible times you'll find out that some miracles people went to Jesus. The woman he mentioned about there, her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, the Bible says in Matthew 15, and she went to Jesus Christ, and he was in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and she went to where he was and knocked on the door and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he put her off a little bit and shrugged her off, but she had enough faith and said, he called her a dog, but he said, yeah, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall off the master's table. And he said, okay, woman, you ain't going to get away. You got enough faith, so before you get to the house, your daughter's going to be made whole. And she went to him. Remember the Roman centurion that went to him and said, my servant lieth home, sick of the palsy. And Jesus said, not only will I heal him, I'll come to your house. But the Roman centurion said, you don't have to come to my house. I know who you are. You're the son of David. And you got enough power in just one word that my servant will be healed. And Jesus Christ looked to the ones that followed Him closely and said, I have not seen so great a faith. No, not in Israel. From a Gentile. Some people came to Him. But then sometimes Jesus went to them. Remember when the well of living water sat on Jacob's well? He just sat there and waited. His disciples thought, what in the world? We don't go to Samaria. But he stopped and he got an email from his daddy. And said, I want you to go back, but I want you to go via Samaria. And so he told him, I said, guys, I must needs go to Samaria. So he went out of his way. At a time when the women usually didn't draw the water, but this woman did because women didn't like her. We know the men did, but the women didn't. So the well sit on a well, and he waited. He came to where she was. It wasn't her thirst that drew him to the well, but it was his thirst because he said, give me to drink, the very first thing he said to her. A lot of people in Samaria were thirsty, but he was thirsty for her. And she said, well, she's smart. You don't have nothing to draw with. I know, but I'm not talking about this water. I'm talking about living water. That if you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. And of course, she perceived that he was a prophet because he had read her pedigree, you know. He knows how to ask the right questions. And he got to where she was living. And she said, give me this water.
Amen.
And because Jesus went to where she was, she went back into town. See, he went for one woman, but it was the right woman.
Yes.
And she went back into town and he stayed a couple extra days just to have a little camp meeting.
Amen.
And sometimes he went to them, but this miracle was different. Bartimaeus wasn't coming to Jesus. And really, Jesus, he was just walking through. He was going from one place to the other. He really wasn't coming. He had no intention, really, I think, of going to Bartimaeus. But Bartimaeus was stuck, but thank God he was stuck in the right place because he was stuck in a place where Jesus was passing by.
Amen.
And some of you here tonight, you're stuck right where you're sitting. But I got good news for you. You're stuck in the right place.
Amen.
Because Jesus is here.
Amen.
Jesus is here.
Amen.
And He's passing by. He was blind. And I've wondered, all my Bible reading in the New Testament, I'm finding that blindness was the infirmity that was dealt with the most.
Yeah.
The reason I feel is because we have to go through life a lot of times blind to a lot of things. We don't know what the next step is going to bring. We don't know what the next day is going to bring. And we've got to go through it blind. And Jesus was relating to us. Blindness is a real infirmity. There is a cure. Because not only was Bartimaeus stuck on the highway, but thank God, secondly, he still had his sense of hearing. The next verse says, and when he heard. I find mercy and grace in those words, when he heard. Because I remember when I was stuck on the highway. I remember when I was blind with sin. But thank God, as a 5-year-old boy on the second pew, on the second verses, just as I am, I heard something. Glory to God! I heard something, hallelujah! How many of you remember the day when you were stuck on the side of the road, deep in your sin, but thank God, you heard something, hallelujah! And he heard! That shows me that God doesn't have to use what's in your past to bless you. He can use what you have left to get you to Him. Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus. So Jesus used what he had left. And that was his hearing. You say, Brian, how did he do that? Well, he heard, so obviously he was traveling with noisy people. That's why I thought they're new converts. Because new converts are noisy. I would to God we'd have some of our old people that's been sitting back for a while revive their hearts like the new converts. I know some of you can't kick and shout like you used to before, but it wouldn't hurt y'all. You know, some of you know what it means, and you used to run around here. You used to scream out every now and then. You know what? It'd probably do your body good if you'd raise your hand every now and then. Just give a big war whoop for Jesus Christ. But new converts on fire. They don't care who knows about Christ. They don't care who knows about the change. And they Bartimaeus heard about Jesus before he met Jesus. He was traveling with noisy people, and I'm glad I'm part of a crew that's noisy. I can't stand dead churches. I can't. That's why I'm kind of picky about where I go nowadays. Believe me, I'm busy the rest of the year, but I don't have to take another appointment, and I'm busy the rest of the year. I promise you that. But I just don't go just to be going. I pray that God will send me to a right place where it'll be effective, that people really want revival. I just don't want to go to have a meeting. And I said, Lord, just please, I know every now and then you got to go into a dead church and help revive it, but man, I like to have a little bit more livelier services than what I'm used to, you know? And I'm glad I'm here this week with some noisy people, amen? I preached a sermon not too long ago about real fans. And some of you know what it means to be a real fan. And I'm a fanatic. I am. I love sports. And I know some of y'all do too, and that's fine. We need to relieve some pressure every now and then. But my last point was real fans are vocal. They're vocal. Now you'll know if you haven't seen my watch yet, it's a big O, a red O, and it's got Ohio State right on that watch there. I'm the Ohio State Buckeye fan. Y'all have been with me in West Virginia when I told about this. Me and Dad, we at least go to one high state football game a year. He went there, pharmacy school, and graduated in 69 when they won a championship. You know, he brainwashed me, basically. We went to one game, and it was the Marshall game this past year. If any of you follow high state, you know it was a serious game. Marshall was seemingly just a little school. But you know what? They put on a good contest, and it came down in the last few seconds. High State has a secret weapon. They call him Mike Nugent. He's within 40 yards. He's automatic. He can kick a field goal about anywhere. This one was about a 55-yard field goal with just seconds remaining on the clock. And me and Dad were in the opposite end zone. And needless to say, it was a nail-biter. But you know what? Mike Nugent kicked that thing through. And here's what me and Dad did not do. Wow. Dad, that was amazing. You know, Dad, that was about the longest field goal I ever seen, and I just can't believe it. Man, he really kicked that through. Yeah, Brian, you know what? I'm glad we came today. This has been the most exciting I've ever been to. You know what? We ought to just get a hot dog and go home. Wow, this is great, Brian. Nah, we didn't do that. You know what I did? First of all, I turned my hat backwards. 100,000 people, you could hear a pin drop when that ball was snapped. Me and Dad were holding on to each other. He looks just like me. Same everything. We wear the same clothes and everything. So he looks just like me. Here we are holding on to each other. He kicks it through. People, I didn't even know. I was jumping on him, giving him high fives. Woo, I'm out there. Would you believe I'd do that? Yeah, I did. Oh, don't get all, you ain't grown wings either. Some of y'all, when they call a bad play on your grandkid, man, you just come. You're vocal, buddy, when they call a bad call on your boy or girl. You're right there, I'm telling you. Ready to fight, you know. How dare you do that to my little baby, you know. But you're vocal. And we was vocal too. But yeah, I was a real fan. I'm a real fan. Is this familiar to you all right here? Sunday morning. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Man, my breakfast really didn't hold me. Honey, what are we going to have to eat? Oh, victory. You know what, honey? I think someone's going to the altar and getting saved.
Come on.
Man, that's awesome, huh? Well, it hasn't been a long time since we've seen somebody saved. We've been praying for them a long time.
Come on.
Man, I really like a bologna sandwich, you know?
Come on.
You think I'm lying? We ought to be ashamed of ourselves, really.
Amen.
I'm preaching to myself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has been good to us.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of like the old Mike Payne song. I'm a Jesus fan.
Amen, brother.
And whenever God does something good for me, I ain't afraid to tell somebody about it.
Amen.
And every now and then, some of y'all that just kind of a little bit laid back and you're a little bit prideful about raising your hand, it wouldn't hurt you to raise your hand and shout, glory to God! Or, praise the Lord. In fact, hey, let's all try it. Everyone in the class, everyone say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say glory to God.
Glory to God.
That wasn't so bad, was it? Now your next test is to do it when your preacher don't tell you to. I guarantee if you do it, you'll give him a heart attack. And his heart ain't good either, so better watch it. But he can take it. Real fans are supposed to be vocal. And these people traveling with Jesus were vocal. They were real fans from what God had done in Jericho. We know they had results in Jericho because a multitude of people followed him. And when Bartimaeus heard them coming, he knew that Jesus was on his way. So even though he was stuck on the highway, he still had his sense of hearing. And then thirdly, he spoke what he heard.
Amen.
He heard about Jesus. He heard that he was coming his way. And obviously, he had heard about him before because he knew who Jesus was. He said, I heard that Jesus could heal the sick. I heard that Jesus could make the lame walk. I heard that he can make issues of blood dry up. And I also heard that he can cause the blinded eye to see. So I'm going to try him. Jesus! Thou Son of David, have mercy on me! And even though Jesus was in a multitude of people who were obviously vocal, he heard. And he stopped. And he turned to where it came from. And his radar locked in on Bartimaeus. He remembered what Isaiah said, that his arm is not short and his ear is not heavy.
Amen.
That he can't hear a cry.
Amen.
And he went over to where he was. Bartimaeus realized that the crowd was getting louder as they were getting closer. And he was stuck on the highway. And a highway was not a place where you set up residence. A highway is a place where you pass by. And he knew that Jesus wasn't going to stay. That might be the last time he would ever come back to Jericho.
Good,
that's right. Good. That's right.
And he said, you know what? This might be my last chance. And while he's passing by, I might as well try now.
Amen.
Listen to me tonight, sinner friend. You can come up here and you can bow at this altar. And you can call on Allah.
Yeah.
You can call on Buddha.
Yeah.
But their resume says, dead.
Amen.
We can look at all of Muhammad's resume. It says dead. He's buried under the Rock of the Dome. But you go a little bit east of that. Oh, glory to God! Woo! And you'll find another place, another sepulcher. But written on top of that, it says, He is risen! Hallelujah! And guess who it is? It's Jesus!
Oh.
you call, woohoo! When you call on the name of the very names, He stops what He's doing and He turns to where you are and walks to you and says, what do you want me to do for you? That's the next question. What do you want me to do for you? That's a stupid question. No, man. He was a beggar. Was he wanting money? Or was he wanting healed? See, sometimes Jesus seemingly asks us what we think are stupid questions, but he wants to know, what's your real problem? Do you really need money or do you need delivered? And Bartimaeus said, he didn't argue. He said, I want to see. I want to see. And he touched him. He touched his eyes. And the Bible says, immediately. Wow. Immediately, Bartimaeus saw. Wow. The first face he saw. Oh, my man. Oh, glory to God. Was the one that touched him. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Because you said, Brown, what are you getting so blessed about? Well, I'm thinking about 24 years ago, whenever I was blind in sin, and Jesus passed by my way on September the 6th, 1981, as a 5-year-old boy. They were singing Just As I Am. And on that second verse, he passed by my way. I heard about him all my life. I was in 370 services my first year on this earth. So I knew about Jesus. I knew all the motions. I knew how to play church. Even though I was 5 years old, I knew that if I died right then, I was going to hell. But thank God I cried out to him. And I said, Jesus, if you're really who you say you are, come down to me. He said, what do you want me to do for you, Brian? And I was just a little 5-year-old boy. I didn't have big flowery words. I just said, Lord, I want to be saved. And he heard my heart. And he said, that's the answer I was looking for. And just like that woman that said, my daughter's grievously vexed. And he said, before you get to the house, you can have it as you will. And thank God when he asks you the right questions and you answer him the right way, we got one better than Burger King. We can have it our way. Hallelujah. When our will matches up with his will, there ain't no devil in hell that can stop it from happening. And God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it makes perfect sense that it is His will for you to be saved. So if you ask Him to be saved, and you will to be saved, no devil can stop it. And no devil will stand in your way. Because if he does, he gets in the way of the blood and he'll be a saved devil, and that ain't going to happen. But he spoke what he heard. You've heard about him tonight. You may be wondering why we cry and shout at the same time. It's Jesus. Wow. Wow. Doesn't that just, when you say that name, is it? There was a lot of Jesus is back then in those days. They named her. It was actually Yahshua. Joshua. A lot of Joshuas. But he was different. Because it wasn't his mom and daddy that gave him his name. It was his heavenly Father that sent the angel and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Yahshua. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came to this earth. And thank God, that's why he's passing by this way tonight. Jesus will not stay where he's not wanted. And if Bartimaeus, see, the reason I think he wasn't looking for Bartimaeus was he was wanting to know if Bartimaeus was going to call him. And I guarantee you, if Bartimaeus hadn't said a word, Mark chapter 10, verse 46 wouldn't have been written. That story would have been out. And we'd heard another story. But I'm glad Bartimaeus called on him. And Jesus is passing this way. And I'm telling you the truth. This may be the last time he ever passes by Fellowship Tabernacle. But I'm glad he passed by, aren't you?